Praise God. Good morning, and trust that God is keeping you various places where we are. And indeed, it's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word and to be taught by Him and to follow up on the things that we have been learning. And so today we are in Romans chapter 10, and we have been studying the book of Romans, and we've been looking at the heart of God, the heart of salvation. And the book of Romans is written by Paul. He's writing to a church which he has not yet met, but is a church that is at the center of power, because Rome was the capital of the known world. And this church, he writes them to know the reason why they believe, to understand what is salvation and why they should believe in Christ, and what is it that makes them, their faith, stand out, and what is the difference. And you know, as you see, we've seen he starts first by acknowledging that there is no one who is righteous, whether Jew or Gentile. And this he establishes, that because all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, and it only takes the mercy of God and depending on the righteousness that is revealed, which is by faith, which is from faith, you know. So it is this righteousness that is different from the righteousness that was established by the law. Remember, the righteousness by the law was based on our doing, but then the righteousness that is of faith is based on our belief in Christ Jesus. And this is where the Bible says Abraham discovered, you know, what is it that Abraham, our father in faith, found concerning this faith? He found that indeed it was not based on his works, but he depended on God, who credited to him as righteousness. He believed in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And we've also seen the example of David, where the Bible says, the blessedness of the one to whom the Lord does not impute sin. So David is also an example of the faith that we carry, the faith that we carry in Christ, in that we are declared righteous in his eyes. We are declared not guilty. We are justified by faith. We are saved by grace, just by the riches of God, God's riches at Christ's expense. We are justified. We are saved by grace. And it is this grace by which he gives us the Holy Spirit, who becomes the guarantee of our future glory. He becomes our helper to help us in our weaknesses. He becomes our intercessor to walk with us, to pray for us. He becomes, you know, our paracletos, one who walks alongside us, one who helps us, one who, you know, teaches us the way of righteousness, teaches us how to live sanctified lives, how to live holy lives in this present age. He's the author of the scriptures. He's the one who inspired the scriptures writing, and is the one who brings life and illumination to the scriptures. And as we read them, we understand and we are taught the word of God. So today, as we are in Romans chapter 10, we've been looking at these three chapters of Romans 9, 10, and 11. And we've seen that this is now an argument that is brought out against those who feel that the Israelites are cut off, and to understand. And you see, Paul tries to express his concern for the Israelites, because they are lost at this point. They are cut off from the faith because they have not believed in Jesus. And even today, many Jews still do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They are still waiting for them Messiah to come. But you see, Jesus Christ already came as a fulfillment of prophecy. He came, he was born of a virgin, you know, he grew up, he suffered, and he died, and he resurrected after the third day. And after the third day, he's now ascended in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has paid for our sins. He has bought us the price. He has made us kings and priests. He has given us the kingdom of God, not just the physical kingdom, but also the spiritual kingdom that we are depending upon, that God has promised to all that believe him. And this is the kind of faith that we believe in. But now you see, the Israelites are cut off, and at this point, their disobedience meant that it opened a door for we, the Gentiles, to be saved. Because when they rejected him, The Bible says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who believed in him, yet to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become sons of God. We are given the authority, we are given the power to become sons of God because we have received Christ. We have believed in his name and he has made us engrafted children. We are an engrafted shoot into that olive tree. Remember when the Bible speaks of the Israelites, it refers to them as that olive tree. But then we are of that wild olive shoot that is engrafted into that olive tree. And since we are engrafted, then we are also made righteous. We are made part of the tree and we cannot forsake the tree itself. So there is a way that the scriptures we will be able to see is that God has placed the Israelites through a hardening, but a time will come when he will soften their hearts and bring them back to the fold and bring that restoration that is needed to Israel. And we believe this also will be seen. You know, there is a remnant that God has kept for himself, and he will do it because the zeal of the Lord is the one that accomplishes it. So we were able to see last time that why is it that we are saved? It is just the mercy of God. And it is not because of anyone that wills. It is not of he that willeth or of he that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So it is the mercy of God that brings us to the place of repentance. It's the mercy of God that sustains us in salvation. And it's the mercy of God that will keep us until that last day and will present us before God, before that throne of grace and mercy, that we might take hold of our salvation. So it is important that we know and we have seen that it is the mercy of God. It's nothing but mercy. So today in Romans chapter 10, we are able to see, and we shall be able to read and see how the door of salvation was opened to us who believe. Why? Because he came to the Israelites, but they were his choice. The Bible says that the Israelites belong the adoption, belong the glory, belong the covenants, belong the giving of the law, belong the worship and the promises, and the patriarchs are theirs. And from their race, according to the human, according to the flesh, is Christ. But you see, we are given an opportunity for salvation through Christ Jesus. So we are going to read in Romans chapter 10, and it says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for God to them is that they may be saved." And here he's referring to the Israelites. "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Just pause there and look at Paul's cry. And he's saying, you know what? His heart goes out for the Israelites. Because they thought that they could acquire righteousness by their own effort. And this is a challenge of even today, when we have so much legalistic, preaching and teaching. We think that the righteousness that we acquire is based on how much we have done. But you see, that is zeal. You can have zeal for God, which is good. And the Pharisees had zeal. They will cover themselves. They will fast twice a week. They will tithe everything. But you see, they had the zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. What is the knowledge? To believe in the one he sent. To know the one he sent. Who is the one he sent? Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and who, when we believe in him, when we put our faith in him, we receive the righteousness that is by faith. So you see, anyone who lives according to the law, lives according to his own effort. They think it is their own righteousness that establishes them. And you see, that's why the Bible says they were ignorant of the righteousness of God. You say there's a righteousness that has been revealed, which is by faith. Verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me pause there. And we are seeing that there is a comparison between the righteousness of Moses that Moses taught and the righteousness that Christ brings. And verse 5 tells us, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law. That means that when we look at the Ten Commandments, when we look at the law of Moses, when we look at the pattern, because remember the law of Moses is given as a shadow of things to come. It was God who was teaching them a pattern, showing them a pattern. Moses was shown, was told, build according to the pattern I showed you in heaven. That means that there was a pattern of righteousness that God was giving them to walk by. It was a standard, but you see, the standard was based on man's effort. God said, if you do this, I will do this. If you obey me, if you keep my commandments, if you honor your neighbor, if you, you know, keep, do not use the name of the Lord in vain, if you keep the Sabbath, you know, if you do not kill, if you do not murder, if you do not do all these things, then I will bless you. I will bless your food, I will bless your water, I will bless your countryside, I will bless your field, I will bless your going out, I will bless your coming in. Now you see, all these things God was giving based on their performance. And you see, when we are judged according to the law, no one stands, because the law points us and shows us our sin. I mean, think of it. If you were to ask yourself, have you ever failed in any of the Ten Commandments? The reality is yes. None of us can ever be declared righteous based on the law. And then he says, but now there is a righteousness that is based on faith. So, you see, there is a righteousness by the law which many people still want to live under. When you see someone tell you, oh, you have not kept the Sabbath, you have not done this, you have not done this, you have not done this, they believe that they want to live by the righteousness that is by the law. And the Bible says that he that lives by the law will be judged by the law. So now the Bible says, when you look, if you want to be judged by the law, if you fail in one commandment, you have failed in all. So when you want to be judged by the law, you cannot stand. But you see, there is a righteousness that is based by faith. Which is this righteousness? This righteousness does not ask. And actually, well, that's what the Bible says. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven and bring Christ down? Or who will go down to the dead and bring Christ from the dead? But what is this righteousness that is by faith? That righteousness, this righteousness that is introduced is that the word is in near us. That word of righteousness is not far away from us. The word is near our mouth and in our heart. And this word of faith that we proclaim, which is this word? That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there's a duality of things. There's a confession with the mouth, which becomes the expression, the outward expression of what you have heard with your heart, what you have believed in your mind, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God raised him from the dead. But then there is also a believing with our heart. And you see, this is why we speak that salvation is, has to be understood at two levels. It has to be understood with the heart, which is the inner man, and also with the outer man, which is our brain. So when you preach to someone and they hear the message, some people can just hear with their ear and it goes out with their other ear. But you see, when the message touches the heart, when it cuts the heart, and someone understands it with their hearts. Remember, the Bible says the devil has blinded the hearts of unbelievers. That means they hear, yes, but you see, their hearts are hardened. They are blinded not to understand the salvation message, not to understand the message of faith. And you see, the Bible tells us if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart, that means that our hearts and our minds must agree. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all thy mind. When you love the Lord your God, not only with your thinking faculty, but also with your inner man, then you shall be saved. Because the Bible says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is a word of faith that we proclaim. This word of faith is the word that establishes us in righteousness. Our righteousness is not based on our performance. Many times we think that our righteousness is based on our performance, but the righteousness that is by faith differs from the righteousness that is by the law, because the righteousness that is by faith is based on what Christ has done. It is based on the doing of the Lord. It is based on him saying, "Telestai," it is finished. On the cross, he said he has offered himself once and for all, eternally, to pay for our price for our sins forever. We are saved by his grace. And the Bible tells us that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Can hardship, can trouble, can destruction, can persecution, can angels, can demons, can things in this world, can things in the world to come, can they ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? No. None of these things can separate us. It is just that we do not know the love and mercy of God. It is just that we do not know that he has said there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because there is a law that is at working in us. There's a law of the spirit of life that sets us free from the law of sin and death. This law that is at work in our lives makes us slaves to righteousness. We are no longer slaves to sin. That means no matter how hard you try, when you have put your faith in Christ, you find that you are gravitated towards righteousness. You are pulled towards righteousness. You are pulled towards doing the right thing. You are pulled towards prayer. You are pulled towards fasting. You are pulled towards study of the word. Why? You are pulled towards giving. Why? Because there is a law that is at work in you. There is a law that is at work in you to make you righteous. That is the law. There is the law of the spirit of life that just draws you towards life. No matter how far you feel away from God, there is that law that starts to work in you, that starts to call you in your inner man to that secret place. This is the law of the spirit of life that sets you free from the law of sin and death. When we understand the message, when we understand that the spirit of God has been given to us, when he says, "Never will I leave you nor forsake you," then it does not matter the depths to which you have fallen, but you know that in God there is mercy, in God there is restoration, in God there is salvation. It is him that brings us to salvation. It is him that calls us. It is him that predestined us. It is him that justifies us. It is him that glorifies us. It is him that makes us right before him. This is the message of salvation. There is a righteousness that God gives. And this is the righteousness that when you depend upon, then you can continually look to what Christ has done. You can continually look to the finished works of Christ. And you purify yourself in this. And that's why the scripture says that anyone that continually purifies himself in this hope, in this hope of Christ, they continually purifies himself. The Bible says that for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We need to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 tells us, but then how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let me just pause there for a moment. We have this word of Christ. We have this word of salvation. We have this word of God that is coming to us, that is telling us that Christ has paid the price for our salvation. He has paid the price for our glory. He has paid the price for our union with Christ. He has defeated all works of the devil. He has defeated every legality that was written against us, every written code. He nailed it to the cross and he crucified it. Now, the level of our belief into what Christ has done determines the level of access we have to the riches of Christ, the riches of God, the riches, the power that is available for us. You see, the reason many times we disqualify ourselves, we think it is us. We disqualify ourselves when we look at ourselves. But God is telling us, look to me. Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, you know, the snake that Moses lifted up, just as it was lifted up, that anyone who looked to it was saved. When the snakes bit them, they were healed. In the same way, the Son of Man is lifted up, that whoever believes in him, whoever looks to him shall not be condemned, but they shall be saved. The Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our job is to keep looking to Christ. Our job is to keep seeing him on the cross, to keep proclaiming his finished work, to keep looking at his back, to look at his stripes, to look at his face that was marred, that we could not recognize him, to look at the wounds in his hands, to look at the wounds in his feet, to look at the piercing of his side, to reflect and meditate on that suffering that he went, and based on that, he pays every price for our healing. He pays every price for sin and the effects of sin. He defeats sin once and for all. He defeats the powers of darkness once and for all. He defeats poverty. He defeats sickness. He defeats everything that was written against us, every generational issue, all those things that are holding us back, until we come to the love of Christ, until we come to acknowledge and see that he said he paid the price for us. When we come to that place of realization, then the Bible asks, how can people call on the one they have not believed? If they only believe if someone preaches to them. But how can someone preach unless someone is sent to them? This is the place of the sending. This is the place of the maturity. God is still looking for those who are willing to be sent. When heaven asks, who shall go for us? How many are willing to lift their hands? How many are willing to speak to their neighbors? How many are willing to speak to their loved ones? How many are willing to speak to their friends about this message of salvation? God is calling us to speak. Beautiful feet are of those who spread the gospel or who spread the message. Yet the message goes out, not everyone hears. And that's why verse 18 he laments, but I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask me. But of Israel, he says, all day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. You see, the message of Christ has gone out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hearing by the word of God. As you sit by the word of God, as you took your time to listen to the message, what is it that God was speaking to you? That is the hearing of faith. That is the hearing that God is still calling you forth, that God still loves you, that God is still concerned for you, that God is still calling you to that secret place. That God is still in charge of your life. Put your faith in Him today. Put your trust in Him today. Depend on Him. Depend on Him. Depend on Him for strength. It is not of Him that willeth or of Him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God is rich to those in mercy, to those who cry out to Him. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to take this moment to pray with you. I believe you've heard the word today that God, His hands are open to everyone, to anyone who is to call upon Him. If you call upon the name of the Lord, He shall answer us and we shall be saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the message of faith that has come to us. This word of faith, that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you raised him from the dead for our sake, you died and you resurrected for our glory, that we shall be saved. I thank you that indeed our righteousness is not based on the performance of the law, is not based on our effort, because Christ, you became the end of the law, you became the fulfillment of the law, you became to establish it, O God, and Father, you fulfilled it on our behalf. And for now, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life sets them free, sets us free from the law of sin and death. And Father, I speak life to my brother, my sister, who desires this truth, who desires this life, who desires to walk in obedience, to walk in truth, to walk in knowledge, to have a zeal according to knowledge, O God. I pray that your grace and your mercy shall surround them. I pray for our family members, our children, our loved ones, our spouse, and indeed our workplaces and everything that concerns us, our businesses, our properties, everything that you've given us, O God, for them that are trusting you for jobs and opportunities, for interviews, O God. May you make a way, O God. May they look unto the one who has loved them, and to the one who has called them. And I pray for the ambassadors, the blessed feet, the beautiful feet, that, Lord, you call men and women to serve you, to speak your word. Give us courage. Remove every barrier to speaking your word. We pray that your hand and presence goes with us, sustains us, and watches over us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, shalom, loved ones. And have a blessed, blessed day until God helps us to meet again. Bye.